sonye jendo me deve voi dove nam da jema jebara jo idama guru vrana matena kani adaya
sangman je cheno
sonye jono ma shantyo bando nane shaso che nage juju jime sonam che dola benje sonye rupara sho
sangman je cheno
sonye jono ma shantyo bando nane shaso che nage juju jime sonam che dola benje sonye rupara sho
sangman je cheno
sonye jono ma shantyo bando nane shaso che nage juju jime sonam
Dola Bhisha Sanjiru Parayisho Dola Majena ki tata nimi sanji tamji ji tenlu Tujala nami kanyantaba zubi sanji ji kumbarumbi chini ji tabi shakwe Teto prashaywi cheto tamji chuyurumbi ji senyambi kunu sanji ji semchi Se sembi kuna sembrishu
Let us cultivate the aspiration seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. With that kind of altruistic motivation, we call bodhicitta motivation, or with bodhisattva's attitude, that we should all participate in this teaching.
Yes. Tāng rāntsū tsāma lōka tā, tūpa chīmbi kūsī nāmi, tā kūtungi tsāma lōka, anī rānta yīn, anī tī ngī chī nāni yīn, dūngi tāngi tā tē, dēwa tāngi tā dēmbi, tabla rānta tsāma lōka tsāngi yōr vāsa.
I believe that those of us who follow path of greater vehicle Buddhism or Mahayana, we work for the betterment of both self and others, but so to speak more for the sake of others. And you know, how we do that is by developing attitudes which are for the benefit of other sentient beings. We engage in spirituality, wishing all others to be free from their suffering, and wishing others to be to find happiness. So we consider others as more important than self. And with such attitudes, we pursue our spiritual development.
That thing, any samba zambu samjita, singi yin, any dunga ki nele, any trova sho, samba samayimpe, singi yin samaluta, suri meba, any kuata dunga ki nele. Ya jene tabe gompa la rang kyo gi nyi sambe ta samba shu trabo jing wa tang gu yor.
It's not just enough for us to simply wish all other sentient beings to be free from suffering or to be happy. Of course, what is essential in cultivating those attitudes, if you will, basically, we are talking about cultivating great compassion and great love, is to be unbiased towards all sentient beings. There's nobody among sentient beings that could be excluded from our from our thoughts. And having said that, it's not simply enough for us to wish them to be free from suffering and wish them to be happy. What really goes with those attitudes is to cultivate the sense of responsibility, that is, that I would like to take upon myself the responsibility to fulfill those, visions, if you will, that I would like to help sentient beings to be free from suffering, and I would like to help sentient beings to find happiness. So that sense of responsibility, the willpower is also essential part of spiritual cultivation. So at the beginning, when we cultivate the altruistic motivation or bodhicitta motivation, basically what we are stating in our motivation is that we would sincerely wish, all sentient beings to be free from suffering and to find happiness. And towards those ends, we are seeking our own enlightenment as a means to fulfill those ends. And we make a commitment, because cultivating altruistic motivation involves making a commitment that I would like to strive to accomplish complete enlightened state in order to benefit all other sentient beings.
Ati kaya mo rin karin sa na rang zobi sanji ji kompa maton na yin zobi sanji ji kompa ta tatul mga yate mga marbas.
Now, why is that important? If you say, why must we strive to accomplish our own enlightenment in order to, benefit others, it's very understandable that so long as we remain unenlightened, then it's really hard to help others to be enlightened. So it seems to make sense that in order to be able to help others to be enlightened, it is really important that first one must, become enlightened. The point that is to be remembered here is, in order to bring about ultimate benefit, the utmost and ultimate benefit to all sentient beings, it is essential for one to become enlightened first. Otherwise, of course, it's really, understandable that even as ordinary beings, we could help others in different ways. So we don't have to be necessarily enlightened to be able to help others. Or even on the spiritual paths and grounds, there are bodhisattvas on different spiritual grounds or levels. And so they are able to do, great benefits to others, even though they are not yet enlightened beings. The point I'm trying to make here is why it's really important to become enlightened, first to benefit others is to bring about the utmost and the ultimate benefits to other sentient beings. Let me give you an example to illustrate my point. Let's imagine that if we are with a group of people and somehow we all fall into a dungeon, deep dungeon. Well, because we are all in the same situation, it would rather be very hard for us to pull each other out of the dungeon. So the one who can really help us to get out of this predicament is someone who, is not in the dungeon, but who is outside the dungeon who could help us. So this is what we are talking about. In order to be able to benefit sentient beings in the utmost and ultimate way, we must seek our enlightenment first.
Well, Tā tēlē ānē ndēr gērūmu jīndu kāno wā. Lāsān nāmbar tāwē tā kīñ shārūs. ānē pēnā pūndā wā tāng nēmā tēk tērē tā tāng tūngsān tā tā īñjī kī tōn dōgu yōr wā. Tē tēlē gugu yā mara kī, bēnā tēlē tēng gugu yā mara wā. ānē nēmā kī tā kīñ nā, pēnā kīli pāndū kī tā rāng tā kīñ dōgu yō nā, ānē dō yā kū kī tēng gugu yō, dō kī gugu yō. Tā tēlē, dō tēlē ānē Tāgā nā yī kī tēn tūmbī lūng tā shiā mbrē tā, ālī tī bēnā kī gōg tō wā tē, tā tēn tē lūsī nyingwā rī tā, shē tā tēn tī shē. Tā tēn yā rē tē bēnā tī yabā tāng tī yuā mā tā lī lūng, tūmbī lūng tā shiā nī, khuān rō sā tī lī, tūmbī lūng tā shiā nī mā shī nā, nā lī yuā mā rā wā sā, tē nā yī kī, ālī tā sūn, bē tē nā yī.
So one of the important points that I'm trying to make here is the need to cultivate the willpower or the special thought, literally translating it, which involves a sense of responsibility that we take upon ourselves in order to, help sentient beings in the greatest possible ways. And this sense of responsibility or this willpower is an essential quality to have for us to be able to reach our ultimate spiritual destination. And this has been really made clear by great Tibetan master Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa or Jerumbuche. And as Geshe-la started to quote the relevant lines from his memory. And Jerumbuche used the metaphor of sail, to talk about some special willpower of a thought, the sense of responsibility. And so before we really talk about what special willpower is, I think let me just explain the metaphor itself. In olden days, in order to be able to say cross a big river or body of water, you need a boat, and a boat is has to depend on a sail. And and not only that, the boat must have really a strong sail, but the wind must be favorable for the sailing. If wind is in the right direction flowing, then you will be able to sail smoothly towards the island of jewels, if you will. Of course, these days, the boats are run by the engines and everything, so that's a different story altogether. So as important as sail is for the boat in those good old days to cross the water, in the same way, the special willpower Flaxum, the determination, special determination, is very important to as we push ourselves in the direction of enlightenment.
No, no. That is, the flaxum number that we touch is that the third thing is flaxum samba is that yinping samba is that yinping samba, yinping samba. That the alindi cups yinping samba is flaxum number that we touch is yinping samba number that we touch is flaxum number that we touch is. 전류협업을 농구시 다르트 예배장이 되면 다 템비 농다 마잖아 농면은 아니 준도고 말이 대전이 아 등이 전다 랑데 전류 좀에 때 달 템비 농나 이차 다디 나이 그 전류협업을 같이 장 그래서 전류협업을 농구시 그 삼검이 조진이 되는 조진 때 아니 태바도 삼바도 검이 혈수송 그 태프도 누수제네 다디네 그 삼검송 혈수송 뭐지 부딪히 것이 다 튜드판 드야시 로아시발라 튜드 로아시발라 아니 그래야지 아니 튜비 롱데제니 다기 고거지 화성고 다르시 다 디라니 어 젠류 협회 메바 젠류 전타 협회 메바 아니 다 롱데잔니 아니 로고 나이 아니 리 고그레스
So Jerumbuche has got this to say that just as a sailor would need a good boat and good sail to be able to go to the distant jewel island to fetch jewel, and it's not enough to have a good boat and a sail, but also needs the favorable wind you know, that blows in the right direction so that you will, you know, not be carried astray, but you will really go, you know, get into the right direction. In the same way, for you know, practitioners to land on the island of enlightenment, if you will, we have to ride on the boat of listening, contemplation, and meditation, or study, reflection and meditation. This is the kind of boat we need. This is the kind of boat we should ride. And this boat must have the sail of altruism, which involves special determination, taking responsibility upon oneself to benefit all other sentient beings. Now again, that's not enough. We also need generate the power of enthusiastic perseverance, so that just as the wind needs to be favorable for the sailing, in the same way, we need the power of enthusiastic perseverance to be able to sail ourselves to the island of enlightenment. So enthusiasm is just like that favorable wind that can blow us into, that can facilitate us in, to move in the right direction towards enlightenment. Okay, so what are we really talking about here is this, that, you know, sentient beings who want to be free from, suffering, what they really need to be able to go to the state of freedom from suffering, they need to cultivate the three types of wisdom which arise from listening to teaching, contemplation, and meditation. Those three types of wisdom need to be cultivated in order to get out of suffering and get to one's spiritual destination. So for sentient beings to be free from the ocean of samsara, cyclic existence, we need to cultivate those three types of wisdom. Wisdom arising from listening to teaching, wisdom arising from contemplating the meaning of the teaching, wisdom arising from meditating on the ascertained meaning of the teaching.
That truthy, because I'm going to put the damn it, that's the caribou, and any, tell any, they saw some very, soon do you have a meditator? To some goes with heroes with an unshabby in there, and they do have a map on that lunk, to the lunk, and they do my shabby sugar of a 90%. They do have a magic, that go back somewhere.
So in order to have those three types of wisdom and to be able to further those wisdoms, we need to generate enthusiasm consistently. So the power of enthusiastic perseverance is likened to that favorable wind, which is which is necessary for a smooth sailing. So where it all starts, it's very important for us to cultivate, the altruism. Altruistic attitude is key to, get out of cyclic existence and
find enlightenment.
Bodhisattvas, have this kind of attitude, which is called altruistic attitude, that involves considering others' betterment as more important than the betterment of self. So the Tibetan term laksam, lak has a sense of, which is translated as special thought, but more in the sense of, sense of more importance or extraordinary. So what is extraordinary about Bodhisattva's attitude is that they consider others more important than self, and therefore others' betterment is more important than self. So that kind of attitude is really extraordinary. It's not an ordinary attitude. It is extraordinary. So therefore it is called laksam, extraordinary thought, or which simply is usually translated as special thought or altruism.
Yeji tendu samna tangne, changa tangne, ta yitu shevin, ta ranga kandis yungres, samdu waste.
So the point we're trying to make here is, in whatever type of actions we engage in, small or big, we should ground ourselves in that kind of a thought, extraordinary thought, or caring about others, thinking about, others' betterment. Now, you might raise this kind of question that, if I do everything for others, then what about my own welfare? Who takes care of that? How does that work out? But this is the beauty of, or the secret, if you will, of course I didn't use those expressions, of cultivating those extraordinary attitude. That when we really dedicate ourselves genuinely more for the benefit of others, so that's our primary concern, then our own, affairs, if you will, or the welfare is taken care of, just by the way, indirectly. So when we really dedicate ourselves for the betterment of others, we are also able to take care of ourselves just along the way. So let me give you this example how one's own, betterment is taken care of along the way as we, benefit and work for others. Let's think of a sailor or one who drives a boat. Well, the main concern of this person may be, okay, I want to help these other people to get to the other side of the water. So you just take on everybody on the boat and you drive the boat or you sail the boat, whatever the case may be. But when you get everybody else on the other side of the shore, well, you're also there too. You see, you reach on the other shore as well. You're not left on the opposite side of the water because you're the one who are carrying everybody in the boat and go to that side. In the Buddhist literature, it's really clearly stated that we should simply look at the difference between our historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha, where he is, and where we are, and then that difference should tell us the whole story. In other words, that you know, at certain point of time in his previous lifetimes, Shakyamuni Buddha, he brought about this complete attitudinal transformation within himself. He said, okay, I'm not going to work for my selfish interest anymore. I'm going to let go completely that selfishness, and I'm going to dedicate myself, you know, altruistically for the benefit of all other sentient beings. So with that kind of extraordinary thought, he pursued the path, and he became a complete enlightened person called Buddha. That's where he is. That's who he is. Whereas, you know, we were there with the Buddha, you know, in his previous lifetimes, but we have remained, you know, locked, if you will, in our own selfish mentality and self-centeredness. So we didn't let go our self-centeredness, and we are very preoccupied most of the time, our own self-welfare. And now we can look at ourselves and look at Buddha and see where we are and where he is, you know. So that will tell the story.
No. That is it. That flasam yobas jik mares thari gogresan ane thosam gonje cherb sunke ane ranjili shab chegres thebe khera sambe gombe kherde ranjili shab chegres kanan gwas.
So it's not just enough to cultivate or generate altruistic attitude or extraordinary thought. What is also needed to be able to move towards, if you will, enlightened state is to cultivate the three types of wisdom arising from listening to teaching, contemplation, and meditation. So we need to listen extensively to to teachings. What the teachings we are talking about here, of course, listen to what, if you ask. In other words, we have to listen to teachings on the three three baskets of teachings or tripitikas. And in other words, the basket of discourses, basket of ethical discipline, and basket of knowledge. So that's why, you know, we need to, listen extensively to the basket of discourses, to the basket of wisdom, to the basket of ethical discipline. And by listening extensively to teachings contained in the three Buddhist corpus, if you will, the basket sounds is a metaphor, but Buddhist canons, that we are able to cultivate wisdom that arises from listening to teaching. So in modern sense, it's also listening to teaching and studying the Buddhist canons.
Tan doa mang di teba, teba ngani shene, ta tele di jesu, toba kari shegure sena, ane, laba tsuri jen laba rangi shegure.
So what's the point of listening to the Buddhist canons, if you will? Let's say if you listen to, the canon of ethics, then the realization we gain from that is that we, abide by, different ethics provided in Buddhism.
So that the any tap chiba minabanda be in ya. Ani tsurum ge tenyun tang, ati le shen ta laba tsurum je laba tenbi ta ndo te jingyu kari ina til hozun shayabi ina ta migiwi le tuzo ngar saba tu pa mebu zoya te taba shaya tang sardu masayak jingyu ke yaga ta ani karasa gura ta tenlega ani xeba ji ta yungu yaga ta.
Even as lay practitioners, if we study those relevant canons relating to Buddhist ethics relevant to lay people, because that's what we're talking about. Forget about putting a footnote here. So as through such study of listening or teaching, then we started to understand the importance of abiding by such ethics, and as we do that, then we started to refrain from negativities, and we find ourselves pursuing positive and right actions. So those are really essential for part of our spiritual practice and essential for spiritual development. If one were to listen extensively to the Buddhist canon on wisdom, we call Abhidhamma Pitika, then one started to develop more understanding about different aspects of wisdom, and then started to get interested and cultivate, for example, the wisdom realizing selflessness or emptiness as it is.
Tando di dene tusum shine ta dene ne an endere ta lava tingin zi lava rang vili shewe ta tap zo nabe chang yanwa.
And if you listen extensively to Buddhist canon on what called discourses or sutra pitika, then we really get more understanding of cultivating what is known as a higher concentration or samadhi.
Namji tanga rang su ane lam hlaba sumse rangji le she gya ka ta lam hlaba sumse ndu se hlaba chrim ji hlaba hlaba ting ji hlaba hlaba khere ji hlaba sin hlaba sumse ndu se chu ge res.
So often we talk about the need to cultivate three higher trainings in Tibetan called labasum, trainings within our mind. And these three higher trainings are training in higher ethics or morality, shila, training in higher concentration or samadhi, and training in higher wisdom. And so we're able to, train ourselves in those different levels of practices if we listen extensively to the Buddhist canons on those topics. So the three baskets of the Buddhist canons are like container. They explicate the three higher trainings. So does anyone think that, okay, now I have not been able to really, study the Buddhist canons or the three baskets. Is anybody thinking that thought? But I don't think you want to be very fixated about that kind of thought. Oh my gosh, I have not had of time or have never engaged in the study of Buddhist canons. Because the fact of the matter is that Buddha has given innumerable teachings, and all his teachings have to do with the practices of three higher trainings that I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So So the point I'm trying to make here is, if we really study and listen to any of Buddha's teachings, so that teaching is a part of the three Buddhist canons, or the three baskets, and their subject matters constitute the three higher trainings. For example, Lamrim teaching, or teaching on the greater path to enlightenment, or we simply call Lamrim, is a genre in Tibetan Buddhism which presents a complete structure of the path to enlightened state. It is a practical guide, so to speak. But Lamrim teaching contains the subject matters of three Buddhist canons.
Mm.
And if we know how to look at things and figure out, you know, most of the Buddhist, literatures or the texts, if you look in within those things, you can find maybe it emphasizes more one of the three higher trainings or the other. But basically, you will be able to see the connections and the relevance and of the three higher trainings and deals with these subjects.
Well,
so another thing mentioned in the earlier is that it's very important for us to generate enthusiastic perseverance, tsundu, enthusiastic joy, and that's important to reach enlightened state. So why is enthusiastic perseverance so important is that every kind of small and big quality or spiritual quality included that we cultivate is an outcome of enthusiastic effort or enthusiastic perseverance.
Great
Indian master Acharya Chandrakirti, in his supplement to the middle way or Madhyamika Avatar, states, and gets it quoted the lines from his memory, where he says that Yuande Malu, every kind of knowledge and quality, basically, Tsundu Chedushin, goes after or follows enthusiastic perseverance. So basically what he's saying is that if we want to cultivate certain knowledge or quality, that has to be an outcome of enthusiastic effort. So it's important for all of us to cultivate enthusiastic perseverance or effort, but then to be able to do that, it's also important for us to understand the opposite of enthusiastic effort. Because the opposite of enthusiastic effort is a major obstacle or enemy for us as spiritual practitioners, because it really obstructs us, it hinders us from cultivating spirituality. So, what do you think is that, the opposite of enthusiastic effort? Are you thinking like, okay, so that must, could it be, those kind of people who are kind of wild and crazy and who, have guns in their hands, or like maybe some just kind of a spring out of the jungles with the bows and arrows in hand, and maybe those are those are the opponents or the opposites of enthusiastic effort. What do you think?
And that's the limit. pe când eu este, eu este, te gândești eu de este, rândul na jil eu este.
Of course, the opposite of integristic effort is none of those things, you know, but it's something inside each of us, and I think we have quite a, you know, a lot of it, as a matter of fact, if you look within ourselves. So the point I'm trying to make is, it's something inside our mind, it's not out there, so don't try to find it out there, it's not out there, it is inside us. So if we want to use our finger to point at it, so we cannot point a finger outwardly as if it exists over there. We have to bend the finger inward and point at ourselves because it is, you know, in us. So what is it, if you ask? It is what we call laziness. In Tibetan, it's called lelo. It already has a negative connotation. It's lethargy, you know, lelo, lazy.
Oh yeah, that till it, lelo till sum yo de rabas. That's an aranso sum buti khandi yers ta. Nanti neva shigar. Kunti lelo sum buti aranso le. Ani ki dum de pata. Ani duya la ani pa jinti ni dum de pata. Ani duj mejin pata.
So laziness is a multi-dimensional you know, concept or a state of mind. In other words, what I mean to say is there are different types of laziness. It's not just one kind. So if it's one kind, maybe not too bad. But there are three types of laziness, and we are quite rich, you know, with those three types of laziness. And basically, these different types of laziness, what they do is, you know, in certain cases, you know, they, in the first place, they do not let us pursue spirituality. Or that, you know, they may even facilitate forgetting about spirituality, you know, or that, they, you know, that you know, in the middle of the practice, you know, they just kind of interrupt and disturb the continuity of our practice. So laziness, you know, in different shapes and forms are obstacles to our spiritual development. So there is a form of laziness called Gi Lukpe Lelo. And so this is a form of laziness where right from the ghetto, we just decided in our mind that I cannot do it. I don't have the ability to do it, and I don't think I can do it. So it's like underestimating oneself. So that's the form of laziness, underestimating one's own ability and capability right from gecko.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the form of laziness where, you know, we even don't start to make any effort and analyze, okay, do I have the ability or not? Or maybe can I cultivate ability? No, it's just right from the beginning, it shuts down our mind, said that, no, I can't do it. And then there's another form of laziness in Tibetan called Chawa Chisho Jilelo. This is a laziness of procrastination. And we kind of maybe, we may recognize that, yes, you know, I need to practice spirituality. But then I'm really busy today, so I'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow comes, then we just decide, well, anyway, this week is kind of busy, you know, so I'll do next week. And then the next week comes, like, oh, I don't know, somehow this month is kind of slow, so I'm going to do next month. And then the next month comes, you know, well, somehow this year is just, you know, not the right one. So I'm going to start next year. So just keeps on postponing one's practice, procrastinating, you know, in that sense. So that is a form of laziness.
And that in it in the scene, and it up Halam Tai, Machi Padre Tandu Sini, and it's also Niku Namatabadria Tai, Kita Kabuchang, Kangu.
So, I mean, what is wrong with that kind of a state of mind called laziness or procrastination is that, you know, we keep on doing it so, you know, often that we might never find a time in life to do spiritual practice properly. So then by the time, you know, we realize, okay, we want to do it at the end of the life, and maybe even then we miss it. See, so that is the, you know, the tragedy, you know, of, you know, of buying into, if you will, laziness or procrastination. And then third form of laziness in Tibetan called Chawang Yin Shinji Lero. This is the form of laziness where, you know, we may find ourselves doing a very busy in doing things, but it is because we are so attached to what we call worldly, you know, activities. That, you know, we, you know, we are so caught up with everyday activity and what we call the worldly activities, worldly as an opposite of spiritual activities, that we never find time to cultivate spirituality. So the way it is presented in Tibetan is like, it's a form of laziness of being attached to what are called frivolous activities. So let's say one is the enthusiastic reader. You know, how this laziness can kick in is like, instead of reading, you know, books on spirituality or such matters, one just spends, you know, so much time reading books about, you know, stories and fictions and all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, this form of laziness can also take subtle form where, you know, we might think that, well, I'm doing practice. But basically what we're really doing is we attach to the external form of Dharma. You know, we look like a Dharma practitioner. We look like practicing. We look kind of nice. But really it's a look good thing. So we are so attached to the external form that there's no substance to what we are doing. What we are really doing is not really necessarily Dharma. And so this laziness can take that kind of a subtle form where we feel like, okay, I'm a good practitioner, I'm, you know, following practice, but we are really just in form, not in substance.
So
including myself, that all of us need to understand these different forms of laziness so that we do not let ourselves being influenced by them, but rather, you know, we would counteract these forms of laziness by generating enthusiastic effort, and, you know, so we become the master of, you know, how should I say it, tackling these different forms of laziness, because we want to win over these forms of laziness. We do not want to be enslaved by these forms of laziness.
Well,
So let me recapitulate the key points that I've been trying to explain today. That at the beginning I said, you know, we must cultivate altruistic attitude, which is the extraordinary thought. We care more about others, you know, and we seek enlightenment for the benefit of others. That kind of extraordinary thought, faksam or altruism, is essential for spiritual development.
Voilà. Tā tē yī tōwa lā lāsāṁ yōpa sīndhī mārī tē kārī gu rī sēnā āne lāṁ lāpa sīndhī nyānlēn tāṁ lūn dēnyū lāṁ lāpa sīndhī nyānlēn tsuyān gu rī sāni kūmīs.
As important as it is to cultivate that kind of extraordinary thought, altruism, bodhicitta, it's not enough in and of itself. We need to, you know, study the three Buddhist canons. And we need to cultivate or practice the three higher trainings.
That is the kind of the long labor some nearly seven seven keep keep gores. The seven seven long gender some young gores. The some seven gores.
Study and practice go together in the sense that if we want to cultivate the three higher trainings, well, first we got to figure out what the three higher trainings are and how to cultivate them. This is where education is key. This is where listening to teaching is a key thing. It's through listening, through education, we learn about these three higher trainings, and then only then we can cultivate them.
Kesam shepa la kar gugurisi na zunru kyuyu junyu da hepa meba ki gubi di kandang songa di kyebi reis.
So what is needed in the study and practice of three higher trainings is cultivating enthusiastic effort consistently. So without that kind of enthusiastic effort and consistent application of that, it would rather be hard to listen to teaching on the Buddhist canons and also to cultivate the three higher trainings. So in order to able to have this constant flow of enthusiastic effort, we need to abandon the three types of laziness. So every day we need to kind of, generate this strong state of mind that I'm not going to let myself be goofed by the three types of laziness. I'm not going to let that happen. Where it all starts, as we say, is that we all, in our everyday life, we need to generate strong, beneficial state of mind for others. So this is where the altruism or bodhicitta, extraordinary thought, is a key, considering others as more important than self. So all these things I just talked about this morning is something I thought is really beneficial, and also we all need, including myself, I need to reflect on these matters, and you need to reflect on these matters. So that's why I shared, those thoughts. So when I said that we all need those things I just talked about, I don't mean like in a sense of like we need them as just to adorn ourselves like an ornament. We really need to cultivate them, within our mind. So I mean we literally need them, not just an ornament to put on, but, to make, the real substantive changes within ourselves.
Good.
No.
Tā kāsī kī tsāṁ tīndā?
Nāṁs.
Tā sāmbā sāṅgū jī tē hū āhī mā sāyīn rū?
Āhī
sāṅgū tā sūkīyā. Rībē? Āhī sāmbā sāṅgū jī. Sāmbā sāṅgū jī tā kāsī kī tsāṁ sāmbā jōjī kī tū tā dīni
sāmbā sāṅgū jī tā pā lā
kāngā
sūṅgū yā rī, sāmbā
sāṅgū
No
problem, my name is Jindu. Kula Somsen.
So now we are going to go back to where we left off in this wonderful Kadamba text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Kadamba Geshe's Advices. And one of the things that really great Adisha reminds us is, you know, to be kind, to develop kindness towards others. You know, remember I told you that Adisha, when he met anybody, he would say that, you know, have you been kind to others, or be kind to others. You know, that's his way of greeting and, you know, communicating with others. And so last time we talked about, you know, a number of things that Adisha talked about, that we need to be humble, that we need to give victory to others but take the loss for oneself, that we should not, you know, kind of carry on the air of like, okay, I have done this favor to you, okay, so that is what you're going to do to me. You don't have that kind of air, carry the air of having favored someone. And so just let go, you know, the attachment or grasping, cultivate love for others, and know the limit of, you know, the worldly activities. You know, enough is enough. You know, we need to set boundaries around things. And those are the things we talked about. Now, the next one, Adisha goes on to tell us that, say, we have to be, the way he sounds is like, you know, if we are the recipient of a gift or offering, you know, by others, you know, we should be appreciative of whatever they give to you. You know, be easily pleased. You know, don't be kind of a, what do you call, don't be like a hardliner here. You know, just, you know, be appreciative of whatever gifts they give to you.
Same in that, same sign it is even in the beginning, you can't have a pen, you ते लंसन लेंगो हर मातो ते ते सें सिज मेर कांजी ता कांजी सन मंबच तोंज दोबास दे थोल.
So I mean, here the expression is that if someone has done something wrong to us and maybe they just come and ask for forgiveness, you know, we must we should be easy to forgive them. I mean, that's saying we should not be like a piggy, you know, with the gifts. When somebody gives a gift, like, oh, what is this? No, you know, be appreciated, be easily pleased in that sense. And if someone say, I'm really sorry, the other day I did this to you, said this to you, so we should, you know, should not become more kind of a tough and, you know, short attitude, but rather be like, okay, you know, be forgiving.
That thing is going to travel in the
As you know, one of the things we talked about is related to this is like, you know, whether, you know, we are monk or lay people, we need to cultivate a sense of contentment, be contented with what we have.
One last. Tai, then you matter. Jada Tarris, Gitin like Tres, ta? Rada, and then number 27, number 10.
Yes.
Rada jengki yor bala. Ke ton sa ti chibu ke chaur bata.
No.
Ke nangi shin. Maran so ani dikte pal chaugres. Dikte bi chul chaugres bata.
No.
Dikte ba dres people dres yo bata.
No.
Dikte pal dres zan ani dikte bi samba samba ki yor bata. Tendel chaugres.
And then great Adisha goes on to say that, you know, just as, you know, animals run away from hunters, because, you know, their life is threatened. In the same way, we as spiritual practitioners should run away from our worldly attitudes and concerns.
Mm.
So we are not saying run away from people, but what we're saying is, you know, we should run away from or distance ourselves from worldly concerns and attitudes.
Oh, yeah. Ridakaras, Nitin Palatris, Ridaki Tabo Tutadani, Tutadani, Chick, Chudabi, son of a Savian, of course, Sagi Sagi Tavi, and we done within those things. There was Chudu is only about the Tatin and the Rich Guguers. Then Mintisho, Yungunda, Chur, Rangel, any Chur, any real Mintisho, any Chirmsu and the Chirm Mintisho, the Yungundosa, and control and the Tendu Yungundo, Zerbe Mintis Yungundo. Then touching about the Redaka any Tadala, there is a notion that is of a non Yanaran to Shagras.
I think what Adish says is like, you know, just as wild animals run away from hunters, you know, that's a good kind of a metaphor for spiritual practitioners. Because, you know, these wild animals, even though they are in the wilderness, so to speak, and maybe they're grazing on the meadow, or they're drinking water, or seems like a peaceful environment, but they always have to be vigilant. You know, a part of their mind has to be vigilant if you know, their life is in danger or not. If there are hunters around, if there are other animals, you know, that could kill you. So they are always vigilant with a part of their mind as they're also enjoying their life. So we as practitioners have to have the same thing. You know, we have to always introspect our mind that whether, we are breaking any vows, precepts or not, whether anger is going to pop up in our mind, whether some other form of delusion is going to kick in and disrupt us. So we have to, you know, also watch our mind as we lead our life, so to speak, so like those animals. Just as the wild animals, when they spot a hunter, they really have to run as fast as they could, go away from the hunters. In the same way, we as Dharma practitioners, we really have to run away as further as possible from the eight worldly concerns.
That dress it is any big, Pomban Dingus in a pair, Julia K. Maris, in a single tony, did a Rondi Mabajipal.
Of course, the wild animals can literally and physically run away from the hunters. But in our case, you know, we cannot physically run away from the eight worldly concerns. But what we say is, in our state of mind, we need to, distance our state of mind from the eight worldly concerns. So this is what we talk about, running away from eight worldly concerns.
Monsieur Mapona, Cheba means it, and they send Yagras. Me, Cheba Mapona, Ranchoba Chagmaris.
And the next Adisha says that if we do not give up worldly concerns and activities, then we cannot be a Dharma practitioner.
Oh, yeah. I am Monsieur Sitani. Manazo and the Chu don't get the me machine. The Chu to Machusil Maribita Maris. And eh, Machusi at around Chuta, Chuta Mintubi, Tam Shawatel and Machus, Chuta Mintubi Shawatel and Machusli. That Dylan Bangu, Tamazo.
So the Tibetan word Michu literally means human activities or human phenomena. What does that really mean is that, of course, certain worldly activities may be accord with Dharma. Those are something, even if it's a worldly activity, if it is, it accords with Dharma principles and is supportive of that, that's a different story. But worldly activities, we human beings, activities that humans engage in, if they contradict Dharma principles, that contradict our spiritual beliefs, then we need to stay away from them.
Well, that in Jewishin. Sonam Sonam Ye Mapuna, Rajuma Menus, Tangaranzo, Pigre, Choshiba, Dunjuki, Choshiba,
And then Arisa goes on to say that we have to, this is especially for the monastics, the ordained practitioners, we call Rabjo monastics. He said that if monastics are not, if they don't abandon, four ways of life, which means adopting the simple way of life, then they are not monastics. So the simple ways of life, therefore, them we're just missing one. One is like. So there are four things that monastics need to cultivate. You know, that is, they have to, you know, be contented with simple living. Means the simple, what called, say, roof over the head, ne, simple clothing, basically their monastic robes, and simple food, and then they should love to engage in their study and practice, and cultivate and do meditation. So those are the four things the monastics have to cultivate, and they should abandon the opposites of those four things, you know, living a very luxurious, whatever, you know, life and so forth, complicated life. And if a monastic does not abide by those four things, then Atisha is saying, you are not a monastic, you know, person.
Ona tan deba ma pona gelo minus. Re. Deba ma pona tan deba se atele tan dire. Andire tan pena no. Deba lan timba se tan de cha tan tene se te se sa mundi shu te ta. Dombe mundi shu de masuna. Te tan gelo mares.
And then Adisha Goswami said that if you don't abandon, I mean, literally translating derba means attachment or desire, then you are not a monk. So of course this includes, you know, attachment to sensual pleasures, which also includes, attachment to, sexual activity. If those, such attachments are not abandoned, then one cannot be a monk.
Yes.
Of course, this is directly addressed to the monastics or the monks, so of course that would include abandoning, sexual activity, that form of attachment. Otherwise, attachment can take many different forms. It doesn't have to be that only. The, you know, attachment to sensual pleasures, attachment that's related with the desire realm of existence and so on. So there are many forms of attachment that we as spiritual practitioners need to abandon. And then Gurud Adisha goes on to say that if you don't have love and compassion, maitri and karuna, you cannot be a bodhisattva. So as a matter of fact, we cannot think of a bodhisattva who does not have, great love and great compassion for sentient beings. So here, love and compassion have to be understood as great love and great compassion. And to be a bodhisattva, one must have altruistic state of mind or bodhicitta. So those are the qualities that a bodhisattva must have.
Ah, no. That's shawa mantuna gomchi minus gomchi is in a gom jingi da gomchi chimbo in a getting the shava maton shava to call tongo yet. The tongo is a gomchi mariskan.
And then Atisha says, you cannot be a great practitioner if you cannot give up all worldly activities. So this is basically, if somebody is, very involved in worldly activities, then, that person cannot be a great meditator.
That's on the radio, that's on the radio, that's on the radio.
Can you take it in, take on the radio, that's
on the radio. Oh, yeah. So what? Shawa Matona Gomchi means that is a Cindy Sagas Dongris Kisarva. No, no. Don Deva Makulchis, Deper Makulchis, Deval and in Pen and Devetily Devin Devent and Zuda to register Tendulli Chani, Tenzuka want Mandoki Gugris, Makulchis.
And then Atisha goes on to advise us that we must not, pursue. Sensual pleasures, the pleasures that we derive from the five sensual objects, form, sound, smell, taste, and touch. If we're attached to these sensual objects and the sensual pleasures they provide us, then we cannot, do our spiritual cultivation, properly.
Yeah. Mayin bashes the Jason Gandhi Jamar monk. I think you want the monk to watch Shakuris.
So the problem means do not chase them.
Dorna Zeta, Dor Mad, Dor Dibinus Mata, Gumban Nenes, Shawa Mamon Warus, Kim Baji Gomas. Tali did it. Dorna Zeta, Dor Dina. Ana gombala nene sta gombala nene yin da karina ta sosu ini ta ku jun de nes ana nene shawa mamang bar shawa mangbu ta gitin bi shawa le dim mangbu le pe cha ne de shawa mangbu chi ji amare kan.
So in short, Adisha tells them, the disciples, that being in solitude, or it could be understood being at monastery, or in other case, wherever we are, we must focus on our spiritual cultivation and, without being distracted by, endless worldly activities.
That courage, I was in a cube baggy gomlas, cube baggy drubs, that show a mamma machine by Mambo Mavishini, that show a monk, that show a monkey Christian, cube to be showered, she was.
So basically, Atisha is telling us that we really need to focus primarily on cultivating Dharma or spirituality and don't get too much involved in worldly activities.
This year, Nam Chivit says, Nam Yi Ran Chivikopsus Chivisens, Sen and Jeba Mabaji Shevres Kanata.
So why is that? What's the purpose of doing that? He said, if we do that, then when the final end of the life comes around, then we will be able to die without regret. So in order to be able to face death without regret, it's important for us to focus primarily on spiritual cultivation and not to get involved in too many worldly activities.
Cheba Ravina, Chidizane, Gagin, Trojan, Chester, Gabota, even on the Pine, that she raised. Chitabasuna, that's also Dinuara. Chu, Dunni, Chu, Yantaba, Dunni, Tel, Dinsu, yes, any, Gagin, Trojan, Gagin, Trojan, any chess.
Just to, bring what the Lamrim has got to say on this topic, according to Lamrim, the best spiritual practitioners, they die very happily. When the death comes, it is like a time for them to celebrate, because they're so happy to face death.
And did you ever have chitantaris?
So those are the best practitioners.
Did you ever dream? Ta hiya le ta manje ta kanzi mevaj ta matlaba ki ta
And if you are a mediocre practitioner, then when death comes around, you know, you do not fear death. You know, you can face death squarely and without fear. So not being afraid of death, it could, you know, it could be understood in two different ways. You know, there could be people who are clueless about, you know, what is death and what's happening and about Dharma and spirituality. So basically, they have no idea about how the Dharma works and functions and everything, and so they may not be afraid of death at all. But that's the stupid, you know, that sense of not being afraid is basically coming out of stupidity. You know, out of ignorance, there's nothing great about it.
But if you are the
worst kind of practitioners, Tama, the last kind, as it put, then you may freak out at death, that basically death really scares you like anything, and you might even start to scratch, you know, yourself, different parts, pull your hair, then now you basically could not handle it. So the important point that's being communicated all through all these things is that those of us who take interest in spiritual practice, so we should do our best so that at the time of death, at least, you know, we can face it without any regret. You know, if you could die it happily, that would be the best, but if you couldn't even, you know, enjoy the death, but we have no regret to die, so that's a great thing as well. So we, you know, we should aim to be able to do that. So what I want to say and conclude today's teaching is this, that we may not have real love, compassion, and bodhicitta in our mind, and as well as most of us don't, but at least we make efforts to cultivate them. So the amount of love, compassion, and altruism that exists in us are not really genuinely present in us, but it's more like the outcome of our efforts. We contrive them at least in our mind. So in the pursuit of the genuine love, compassion, and altruism, and so that we really started to care about others, and because these are the best ways to repay the kindness of other sentient beings, you know, because repaying kindness could mean many things. You know, you can buy things for others, but that, you know, only is so limiting and covers so much ground. But the best way to repay the kindness of other sentient beings is to cultivate love and compassion for them and to strive for enlightened state for their benefit.
Okay, the chapter is much meant, okay. Tadi tunggu ya, resta aniti ani transu di sini tentang kalau itu nanti saya di dua.
Di PCA
ke dua ya.
Before we do dedication, I have two announcements to make. One, I'm re-announcing it, which is tomorrow, Monday, in the evening, there is no meditation, but Kishala is going to give refuge vows or precepts to those who would like to take them. So there could be new people who want to, you know, to be initiated into Buddhist precepts, and so you will be receiving the refuge vows fresh, and maybe others who would like to restore their refuge precepts, so they are also welcome to that. So tomorrow evening at 7:30, Kishala is giving refuge precepts at the TDL monastery, so no meditation, regular. The second announcement I have is, some of you might have already heard about this, that a new, you know, maybe we can call a Dharma movie, has come up, which is called Milarepa. This is about the great 11th century Tibetan Yogi Milarepa story, and it will be shown in Los Angeles on September 13th. I was told at MP Theater across from Universal, whatever. Now you can see I haven't been to Universal for a long time, so that becomes whatever. You can get the ticket at, because that's the limited information we got, so you can get the ticket at www.milarepamovie.com. So basically milarepamovie.com, so you might get more information about this movie. Okay.
No, I'm sorry.
Together, we have accumulated merit, positive energy this morning, and we would like to dedicate our merit for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy masters, wherever they are in any part of the universe, live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality.
And on our market, Sinti Tamji, Ninjin Jibale Tony Sanji Kumbarambojita Vijurjiti.
In short, we dedicate our collective marriage for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Ramon,
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
Swagger.